and I'm really happy to have my friend Ron from Vancouver here to share on that promise with us.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ron, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, everybody. I'm going to start off with my sobriety date is November the 3rd, 1988. So I got 31 years and probably more than Savannah, how old Savannah is. Anyways, I'm just kidding. The promises. Oh, my goodness. Well, this promise here, we will not regret the past, nor will shut the door on it. I want to use everything I've learned. So everything that brought you to the rooms, welcome to AA. And believe me, we fought to get here. Believe me. And you know, it's funny. The worse you are, the more we're going to love you. Like, it's truly the truth. And if you don't love us, it only means one thing. And it's very clear, is that you haven't done the work. Because you know what? Once you have done the work, you're going to love everybody, even this loud guy here. You know, I can remember this, my old sponsor. He came into the rooms, and his name's Milton Merle. I don't know if anybody knows him, but he's black, and he's just a full of, like, energy. And he came up to the podium one day, and he says, "You have to love me." And I've never even seen this guy, and he's telling me that I have to love him. I'm like, nope. In my head, I'm like, nope, don't love him. Nope. He says, "I'm going to tell you why you have to love me. Because if you don't love me, it means you don't like me. And if you don't like me, it might mean you have a resentment towards me. And if you have a resentment towards me, it's the number one offender that sends out more alcoholics than anything else." I'm like, I love this guy. So anyways, this is how the talk's going to go. You know, the promises are fantastic, and we do want to use everything, but I hate to break the news to you. The promises only happen when you're halfway through step 9. So many of you probably really haven't imagined the fantastic everything you get from step 9. You know, and step 9, I think the most important part in step 9 is making amends to yourself. And I have people in the fellowship coming up to me and saying, like, "Ron, maybe you read a different big book than me, but it does not say anywhere in step 9 that you need to make an amends to yourself." And I'm like, clearly, you know, maybe we should reread that book a little bit, because it talks about making amends to all people we have harmed. That's everyone. That's including ourselves. And I need it more than anybody. Because once I get love for me, then I get love for you, and I can go to anybody in this world. But it all starts with me. But let's go to the very beginning, because there might be a newcomer here. And why would you want to hear about me making amends when I can't even stop drinking? So let me just explain a little bit, like, what's going on. You know, I didn't know what an alcoholic was. I always thought an alcoholic was somebody in Maine and Hastings, right? Somebody who's sleeping in the parks. And that was me. I was sleeping underneath the kids, you know, the kids' playgrounds. They have these forts. I'd, like, wake up drunk in them, and then hearing kids crying, like, crying to their moms, "Look, there's somebody sleeping here." And I'd be waking up, you know, in this fort. It was horrible. But that's what I thought an alcoholic was. I didn't know an alcoholic is somebody who can't stop and can't control it. You're suffering from an illness that only a spiritual solution can fix. So if you can't stop and control it, means you're an alcoholic. And it means you're suffering from an illness that only a spiritual solution can fix. So that being said, okay, I'm an alcoholic, but really, what's going on with me? And it all starts where Dr. Silkworth taught us about that irritable, restless discontent, that spiritual malady. See, that spiritual malady happens before I even think about drinking. So what happens is if you talk to anybody in the fellowship, especially new, they're like all over the place. They're like, "Oh my God, you wouldn't believe what happened. You wouldn't believe what happened to this. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it." I even heard it today. I heard it from the time I woke up until now. And I've heard it, like, I heard it from Beirut today. I've heard it from, oh my goodness, I've heard it from the other side of the world today. And it's the irritable, restless discontent. I don't know what to do. That's the unmanageability. It says we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives became unmanageable. The unmanageability is that irritable, restless discontent. And I didn't know when we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Power means God. Powerless means not listening to God. So I stopped listening to God and I continued just to go with what I think. And boy, was I ever in trouble. I didn't realize the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind than in his body. So the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind. So the main problem is our thinking. And I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that my thinking, and I shouldn't be thinking. And let me give you the good news is we want you to think by the time you get to step 11, because it says we gave you brains by the time you get to step 11. But remember, we got to get through 9. We got to get through steps 1 and 2. We got to get through 4, 5, 6 to get to this, right? So we don't want you thinking. And the main problem of the alcoholic centered is in his mind. So if you got anything going on other than happiness in your heart, you're in irritable, restless discontent. And it talks about we're unhappy, broken relationships. It talks about everything about the spiritual malady. But it starts there. And Dr. Silkworth said, Bill, why don't you go to the people in the fellowship and why don't you describe to them like the mental side of it, like that mental obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body. Well, the mental obsession of the mind is your thinking. So it starts with the allergy. Then it goes to my thinking. And if you think long enough, you're going to be drinking. Or you're going to get that spiritual help. But if you don't, you're going to think so much, guess what's going to happen next? You're going to drink. And it's funny, if you're an alcoholic, it's not funny, but what happens is if you're an alcoholic, you have one, you want to have more. And the more I drink, the more I have to drink. And it's just one big vicious circle. And you're thinking to yourself, why, after all this time, am I back sitting on a bar stool once again? And I can tell you why. It's because our minds got us there. So, you know, so the main problem of the alcoholic centered in his mind, step one. And what happens before is the irritable, restless discontent. So I needed to get out of really step one is that, okay, I know I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, let's move on from here. Because I paid my price to get here. Give me something that will help me stay sober. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than self could restore us to sanity. And you know, the sanity they're talking about, you're probably not gonna agree with me, but you know, the big book tells us the worst part in the big book is about this insanity. And it's about step two. And it clearly says the idea that someday, somehow, we're going to control and enjoy this drinking is a grave obsession of every abnormal drinker. Many pursue it into gates of insanity or death. So the insanity is not doing it over and over. The insanity, you talk to anybody who's gone back out drinking, the insanity is the idea. It comes from your mind. It does not come from any sort of solution. So the insanity is the idea. So I needed to get to a solution that works, and the solution's God. We all know that. That's why they wrote the big book, is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself. They wrote it for two reasons, to show you precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book, right? And to enable you to find a power greater than yourself. That's why they wrote the book. But I needed the 12 steps and God. Faith without works is dead. How about faith with loving actions work? And that's what I needed. That's what I needed. I needed a solution. And the solution I didn't know was within me the whole time. On page 25? It talks about our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a place which is indeed miraculous. Our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a place which is indeed miraculous, is fantastic news. I've always had the solution within me, and I didn't know it, but you know what I was trying to get to the solution? How I was trying to get there? It's through my problem. So I was trying to fix the problem with the problem. How about trying to fix the problem with the solution? How about fixing the problem with God? How about fixing the problem with prayer? How about fixing the problem with our hearts? Deep down in every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. At the back of the big book, it says, our members have tapped an unexpected inner resource, which they presently use as a power greater than themselves. When Bill Wilson started this thing, and Abby came knocking at the door, hey, Bill, this is Abby. They went down to the kitchen table. And I think it says on page 11 in the big book. And Bill Wilson said something happened here. Something happened in the human heart that did the impossible, and he was right. See, so I needed to get this solution, and I needed to live in this solution. That's step two. Step three brings me somewhere different. Step three is different than step two, because just because I have God now, and I know where God is, not who God is. You can have Jesus, you can have whatever you want. I'm just telling you where God is from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's in our hearts. So then, and step three gave me something different. It gave me faith. And faith is different than God. It is, because I have God, but God's really not helping me get out of my house right now, but faith will. Faith will always give me the help that I need. It will always give me, whenever I doubt myself or whenever I'm not okay, having faith will do it. So if I have faith, I don't worry. And when I worry, I don't have faith. See, you can't have them both. So now I got God in my heart. I have faith. Now I can go on with the rest of this work. And why we do the rest of this work, I'm keeping track here on the time, Alicia. Why we do the rest of the work is because we want to stay in our hearts. What happens is if people cut me off while I'm driving down the road, and what's the first thing you think of is maybe giving them the finger. I don't anymore, right? I want to react differently. And the only way I'm going to react differently is if I do a step four. So I needed to deal with these resentments. I needed to deal with the fears. I needed to deal with the sex and the harms. So, you know, isn't it funny? I don't know if anybody here has any resentments. Okay, so if anybody here has any resentments, let's hear them, because I'm going to tell you all about resentments. And I hate to break it to you, so hold on to your chair. If you have a resentment, it has nothing to do with that person. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It has to do with how I react to it. So if I'm pissed off at Ron, I'll go through with one. I'll go through one about this loud guy right on Ron. I don't like him. He's too loud. Right? So I'm giving you the resentment. I don't like him. He's too loud. It affects my personal relationship with him. Okay, and I don't like it. So now the book talks about I have to look at my own faults now. So now I have to close that part. I had to actually have to close that part about Ron. Okay, so now what is it asking me? It's asking me if you've been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, or there's four of them anyways. So it's asking me one of those, and I'm selfish. I'm just being selfish. Every time I see this guy, Ron, I'm just being selfish. Or I'm being dishonest because I stole from the 7-Eleven. I might be dishonest, but we need to know why, and the why is how I react. So my faults are my defects. So do you know how I react with Ron? I'm inconsiderate. I'm mean. I'm angry. I'm jealous. Name maybe five. And that's going to help me with the steps further on down the road. So I do the resentments, I do the fears. And if you know it or not, there's two different kinds of fears they're talking about. If you read on the top of page 68, it talks about fears that have no resentment in connection with them. So that means if you're going to leave me, Alicia, or beat me up, I'm going to have you in my step four. But I have different kind of fears. And I'm going to tell you the other fears that we have. We have fears of insecurity. We have fear of other fears that have nothing to do with resentments at all. And that's what they're talking about. And that's what I have to deal with. So we have to ask fears, like why? And we have to get to some sort of solution, because the fear prayer is this. It says, direct our attention to what God would have me be. Okay, so if I'm afraid of swimming, why? Because I don't want to drown. So now, God, direct my attention to what you would have me be. This is what the big book says. And then you know what God just said to me? Ron, take swimming lessons. You cannot remove a fear without an action. So then I'm going to write down, oh, I'm going to take swimming lessons. So I don't live in those fears any longer. And if you, the big book actually talks about having fear is actually a mistake. In step four, it does. It's actually a mistake. And sorry to tell you that, but it also says, Being dishonest is a mistake. Being selfish, self-seeking is also a mistake. And being frightened, it's a mistake. And why it's a mistake is God doesn't want you frightened. Doesn't. So then we get to, 15 minutes. So then we get to the fears. We get to the sex. I think the most important part about the sex, I even talked about it today with Tay-Tay and we were helping somebody, is the most important part about is what should have I done instead? Because we have to ask ourselves those questions from the big book. And there's like questions. And I think the most important one is what should have I done instead? So regardless of how many girls I ever went out with and any situations that ever happened in my life, the most important is what should have I done instead? And it clearly is one of the most important parts. And I bring that actually to my step 9. I actually bring my fear solutions to the step 9 also, because I just don't pray and leave them there. I need to bring them over to step 9, because when I get to step 9, I want to love me. So then I go to step 6 and 7. I go to my harms. I do them. I go to my 6 and 7. And my step 6 is done. Since we're entirely ready, have God remove these defects of character. They're done. I know what they are. I'm angry. I'm jealous. I'm inconsiderate. I'm mean. But we need to see that, because God wants us on the other side of that. God wants us living God's will. And if you read the step 7, step 6 is thinking and knowing about your defects. And by that time, I know what they are. Step 7 is humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. See, We humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. They're defects that I keep acting out on and I can't change. So then I ask for God's help and a new action, because it talks about going out to do his bidding. When I go out and do his bidding, I want to do his work. So that's God's will. So now I got step 2, which is the solution. I have step 3, which is faith. Now I got step 7, which is God's will. So now whenever I see somebody's going to cut me off, I let them in. If I'm pissed off at the parking meter, which is funny because I don't anymore. I have 25 cents and I throw money in the meter, right? So I'm always kind of living in God's will in the solution today. So that brings us to 8 and 9. So again, step 9, I already told you, we need to make amends to ourselves. And this is the magic of these promises. I make amends to me. And you know what I do is I get like 20 things that I need to do for me daily. So if you're a newcomer, what are the 20 things that you can do for you today? Anybody here, what's the most amazing things you can do for you today? Maybe self-will? Self-care? I meant self-care. How about what? Maybe going for a walk today. How about being kind and loving to everybody? How about always reacting with love? This is the step 9 I get. And this is the step 9 that I get from the big book. I need to love me. And when I love me, it doesn't matter if anybody else loves me, because I love me. And I need to get to that point, because I used to tell myself all these lies and I used to live in that irritable, restless discontent. And if you talk to anybody, you know who's in the irritable, restless discontent. They're thinking, they're unhappy. I talk to Joe, I look at Joe and I see a great big smile. Do you know, I look at other people and they're smiling. I know how you all got here to AA. And you're thinking, oh, this guy's full of ego. This guy's nuts. How does he know how you all came to AA? Let me tell you how you all came to AA. Your heart brought you here. Your head didn't. Your head didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, I'm going to AA. It isn't. Your head told you different things. Your heart actually got you here. And finally, your heart was louder than your thinking. And God made that possible. And then I had step 10. I have to do all through the day. At the end of step 10, on page 84 at the bottom, it says, love and tolerance of others is our code. So you have to love me, right? And I love each and every one of you guys. Love and tolerance of others is our code. I mean, you know, and it talks about a daily reprieve. And you know, this daily reprieve is contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. A reprieve is, I tell my sponsors, a reprieve is a gift. Take this gift. Wake up and enjoy this gift each and every day. Like, enjoy your life to the fullest because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Then we do step 11 at night and on the awakening. It's fantastic. We answer the 9 questions. There's actually 9 questions on when I retire at night. Okay, I see it's 20 minutes, but I'm just finishing off here. So step 11, we do it at night. We answer the 9 questions. There's 9 questions. I believe step 11 at night is way more important than the on the awakening because it goes through all the 12 steps. When I retire at night. And then, of course, on the awakening, we review our whole day. We pause when agitated. And step 12 is helping others. How do I help others? And I'm just going to end it off here. How do I help others? Oh, my God. It's been 31 years. How do I help others? I've worked at treatment centers. I've worked at helping others. I've helped the homeless. But I don't think any of that really is the true help in step 12. I believe the true help in step 12, for me personally saying, is to help others with the 12 steps. Only because, do you know what? It helped change my life. And I see how much it can change your life. So, do you know what? Do it. Don't do it. It's totally up to you. But I know the closer I got to God, the closer I got to the steps, the happier I got. And thank God for the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know what? I love each and every one of you. Thanks, Alicia. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much, Ron.
Right on.
I absolutely love your service, your passion, and your fervor. That was great.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Jenny, would you like to share?